Tonight, we're going to continue a series that we began a few weeks back on the New Covenant. And I want to ask you a question tonight. How many would like to be led of the Lord? How many, raise your hand real high, you would like to be led by God in your life? You would love the Lord to direct you, guide you, steer you away from things that are hurtful and guide you to that which is good, amen? He knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the omniscient one. He knows all things. How many of you would like his guidance? You would like his guidance in your life. You would like for the Lord to lead you and guide you. Praise God. I would too. Tonight I want to speak to you on a subject I've entitled Doing What Pleases Him. Doing What Pleases Him. The New Covenant and Obedience. The New Covenant and Obedience. That would be a subtitle, Doing What Pleases Him. I want to do a little bit of a recap for those who haven't been with us in our series. We've been doing this series on the New Covenant. And for those who are not aware, on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock over in room 201 on the other side, college kids as well as young adults, 18 to 29, are getting together. And we're having these Bible studies and we're hitting this topic. And as we're doing so, the Lord is really ministering, encouraging our hearts, strengthening our hearts, and teaching us what it really means to stand for him and to make a difference for him and to know him. And it's been incredible as we've been doing this study. The word covenant is a word that means agreement. It means a pledge. It means a promise, as if someone makes a promise to you, a pledge to you. It's a word that in modern term would be defined as or called a contract. It would be defined as a contract. And as you know, a contract is between two parties. And for a contract to stand, both parties have to fulfill their end of the bargain. The contract or the agreement or the covenant can be between two individuals. It can be between two businesses. It can be between countries, okay? Countries can make a covenant together, an agreement together, a contract together, a pledge, a promise, okay, together. Now, the word obedience comes from the verb to obey. And that word means, that verb means to do what someone tells you to do or what a rule or law says you must do. Let me say that again. To do what someone tells you to do or what a rule, law, etc. says you must do. It means to follow the commands or guidance of. To follow the commands or guidance of. So if you want to be led by God, he has to be able to guide you, okay? And that comes through obedience, okay? Because to obey means to follow the commands or guidance of. It means to conform to or comply with. To conform to or comply with. Now, in our study, we began to see and realize that the Bible is very big on this word covenant. As a matter of fact, God is described as a God of covenant. And we began to see that the Bible is actually parted, separated into what's called two covenants. The Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the old way of relating to God, and the New Covenant, the New Testament, the new way of relating to God, a new relationship with God, a new type of relationship with God, okay? So as we've been going through this teaching, it's been quite interesting as we've been begun to discover this word covenant and what it actually means and how important it is in Scripture. The Old Covenant, according to Scripture, in Hebrews chapter 8, starting with verse 7, I'll just read it to you. It says, if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need of a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, okay, he found fault with the people, not with the covenant. He found fault with man, the people. He said, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, a new arrangement, a new agreement, a new testament, a new way of relating to God. I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel, with my people, and Judah, Verse 9 says in Hebrews chapter 8, this covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned my back on them, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel on that day. This is the new covenant that I am making with my people, a people that I call my own, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and I will write them on their hearts. I will put my laws in their minds and I will write them on their hearts. And we began to see that that means that the Lord will begin to give us a love for him and a love for his word so that we begin to follow him and do what pleases him, not because we're under some jurisdiction or because we're under some guilt trip or because we feel necessarily compelled to just out of obligation, but because we have now a love for God, because he has absolutely won our hearts. We love him because he first loved us. Can I get a witness in here tonight? Because he has absolutely ravished our hearts, stolen our hearts with his love. He has captivated our hearts. Now we love him. And so we have a love for his word. He says, I will put my laws in their minds and I will write them in their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Praise God. He goes on to say, they will have no need for someone, a neighbor, to teach them, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already. I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. I will never again remember their sins. When God speaks of a new covenant, it means that he made the first one obsolete. Okay? That's very important that you catch that. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. Praise God. Amazing. Okay? So the old covenant, basically, if you were to sum it up, said this. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. We should have that verse tonight for you on the screen. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. This is the old covenant in a nutshell. Okay? Obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, that it may be well with you. Okay? Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, that it may be well with you. But we know from Hebrews that we nor our ancestors could keep the old covenant. We couldn't do it. We would fail. We failed, okay? Man failed from keeping his end of the bargain. And so what happened? Well, God sent his son to fulfill the old covenant for us. And now we become benefactors of Christ's obedience. Okay? And we become part of the covenant family. We become part of God's family. We become his children. We become joint heirs with Christ because we have placed our faith in the Savior, the one who fulfilled the old covenant. So now we are benefactors of his obedience and what he accomplished on the cross. Are you with me tonight? Did I lose you? Okay, so because of what Christ has done, we become benefactors. The old covenant said, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, that it may be well with you. But under the new covenant, the Lord says this, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. We should have that verse for you on the screen tonight as well. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Verse 13, for it is God working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And that's where I get my title from. Doing what pleases him. To do what pleases him. Okay. Now, first of all, Point number one. Under the new covenant, obedience is not optional. Let me say that again. Under the new covenant, obedience is not optional. It's a requirement and it's vital. It's a requirement and it's vital. Obedience is still required under the new covenant. Even though Christ fulfilled the old covenant, obedience is still required under the new covenant. One of the main reasons for the new covenant was to provide for our obedience. Jesus said in John 14, 21, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Our obedience proves that we love God. In other words, are you with me? Those are the words of Jesus. Same chapter, John 14, verse 23 says this. Jesus said, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them and we will come and make our home with each of them. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, which we just read, and they can put that on the screen again. It says this, show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Prove that you're a Christian. Show the results of your salvation, obeying God. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Another place in the scripture, it says this, we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. Created anew in Christ Jesus for good works that he has prepared for us to do beforehand. In other words, when you and I are born again, when we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, there are good works that God has prepared beforehand for you and I to do. He has a plan for your life. He has a destiny in store for you. He has something he wants to do in and through your life. He has purposes that he wants to fulfill in and through your life. He wants to use you for his glory, to effect change in this generation, to effect change in your workplace, to effect change in your community, to effect change on your campus, to effect change in your family. How many of you are the first ones saved in your family? How many of you were the first ones saved in your family? Okay. Raise your hand real high. Praise God. How many of you are the only one right now currently living for God in your family? Raise your hand. How many of you grew up in a Christian home? You've got other Christians in your family. Praise God. Awesome. Well, do you know God wants to use you to sharpen others? God wants to use you to spur others on in him, to influence others for your glory. We are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, recreated in God for good works. Folks, obedience is not optional. It's a requirement and it's vital. It's essential for you and I. For we are not to be just hearers of the word only, but doers of the word, James 1:22. Doers of the word. Listen to this. I want you to see this. Jeremiah 7:23, if they can put that on the screen again. Jeremiah 7:23. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, that it may be well with you. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, that it may be well with you. I want to show you something in a minute. This is a cliffhanger. Just hold on. Point number two, obedience must be prompt. Obedience must be prompt. I'm not talking about delayed obedience. I'm not talking about procrastinating. I'm talking about being prompt. Mark chapter 1, verse 18 says this. Immediately they left their nets and followed him in the way. Straightway they left their nets. Immediately when Jesus called, they left everything and followed him where he was leading them. The parable of the sower talks about a seed that fell by the way. And it said the devil came and stole it. Do you know, have you ever noticed, you know, when the Lord begins to speak to you about dealing with something, you hear a message, you're convicted, maybe in your devotions or in the house of God, and you leave convicted. If you don't deal with that thing right away, what begins to happen? It seems like that conviction all of a sudden begins to dissipate, right? Like that word becomes a distant past. And then God has to come back at times and speak to us again about the same thing. The same thing. He has to come back and speak to us again about the same thing. Don't give place to the devil by delayed obedience, because he wants to come and steal that word from you. James puts it this way. Being a hearer of the word and a doer and not a doer is like that person who comes and they see themselves in the mirror of God's word. And all of a sudden, they leave and they forget what they look like. What does that say? That means that the Lord begins to convict us and show us what's actually there. And because when we walk away, we don't deal with it, we begin to forget. Does that make sense tonight? So obedience is to be prompt. Our obedience must be prompt. Point number three, obedience is possible. Obedience is doable. Obedience is within your grasp. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. If we can put that on the screen again. Actually, let's put the previous verse on the screen. Jeremiah 7:23. Now, this is what I wanted to show you. Jeremiah 7:23 says, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, that it may be well with you. Obey my voice, and I will be your God. That's the old covenant. The new covenant says this. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. Obey my voice and I will be your God. That was Jeremiah 7:23. Well, obey my voice is now replaced with, I will put my spirit in you and you will obey my voice. And I will be your God and you will be my people. Did you catch that? The old covenant, obey my voice, I will be your God. The new covenant, I will put my spirit in you. And now you will be able to keep my judgments and do them. Did you catch that? Let me say it again. Jeremiah 7:23, obey my voice, I will be your God. That's the old covenant, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the new covenant, the new way of relating to God. I will put my spirit in you so that you will keep my judgments and do them. What's it say there? So that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. What is the game changer here? The Spirit of the living God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Are you with me tonight? Romans 8:11 says this, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Hallelujah. This same Spirit living within you. The same chapter goes on to say this. You are no longer under any obligation to obey your sinful nature. Because the Spirit of God now lives inside of you. You are no longer under the obligation to obey what your sinful nature tells you to do. That's good news. I said, that's good news. Because of the precious promises of God's word, you and I are now made partakers of his divine nature. We now have the capacity to obey God and to do what pleases him. Later on, it goes on to say, sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin can no longer dominate you. Your sinful nature no longer has the right to dominate you, to control you, to dictate to you what you should or should not do. Why? Because you are no longer under the law. You're no longer under the old covenant. You're no longer obligated to obey God in your own strength. Now you are under grace. Now the favor of God has been poured out upon you. The Spirit of God now lives in you. And he who is within you is greater than he who is within the world. Are you with me tonight? The Spirit of God is within you. The God who created this universe, who by the word of his power hung the stars in the heavens. Whose word holds all nature together. This God who tells the sea to come this far and no further lives within you. And because he lives within you, you can now do what pleases him. He is the game changer. But you and I have a choice. I said, you and I have a choice. Years ago, I was approached by my youth pastor at the time, and he asked me, along with two other young people, if we would lead our young people's choir in worship in our Friday night youth services. And so I sat where you were, and I was a young person in the youth group here in this church. And the youth pastor came to me and said, would you, along with these other three young people, help lead worship? And so we would alternate every week. One of us would lead. But I have to tell you, I was just deathly shy. And I still am. I mean, you could not get me to stand in front of a group. No way, no how. It just wasn't happening. In school, when we used to have oral reports, I've shared this with many of you before. I mean, I would die 100 deaths. You know, I was sick. You know, I would feel hot. I'd be sweating, you know, perspiring. It'd be like, oh God, is it just me? Does anybody feel this? It's hot in here. You know, it was like I'd be ready to pass out. But I prayed and I felt God saying, I want you to do this. Would you trust me? Would you trust me? At that moment, folks, I had a choice to make. Because the Lord was asking me to do something. And see, when God asks you to do something, he equips you to do it. I said, he equips you to do it. And so I said yes, and I began to help with the worship. And I ended up leading worship for 14 years. Led over 1,500 worship services, leading worship over 14 years here in this church. And then eventually the Lord helped me to pass the baton and to raise other people up and see him raise other people up. And I've done that, and I thank God for that privilege. But folks, I would have never had experienced those years of just God's training. And during leading worship, I learned how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it was amazing, you know, just the experience. But I would have missed out if I hadn't trusted the Lord. But I had a choice to make at that moment. He wasn't going to force me up on stage. He wasn't going to forcibly put a mic in my hand and make me stand here. But he promised to be with me. He promised to help me. He promised to equip me. And so I trusted God, and all of a sudden I began to do the impossible. What was impossible in my shyness, in my introvertedness, if that's such a term, in my weakness, his strength was made perfect. I would have missed out if I didn't obey God, if I didn't make the choice to trust him. And I want to tell you, if you don't make the choice, you will miss out. But he's given you all that pertains to life and godliness. So now you have a choice to make. When that still small voice comes to you and says, do this right now, do it. I want to encourage you to listen to that voice. That voice is precious, and you need to value that still small voice. And the more you value his still small voice in your life, the more you say yes to God, the more you trust him for the grace to do what he's asking you to do, whether it's to put this away or put that away, the more you will know his voice. You will know his leading. You'll know when he's speaking. You'll know when he has a word for you or for someone else. He'll be able to use you in the gifts of the Spirit to minister to other people. But you have to listen to that still small voice. You have to cherish that still small voice. And you have to believe that God will equip you. You and I can't live for him in our own strength. That's what the old covenant proved. That's why there's a new covenant. Now, it's not me in my own strength trying to obey God, but it's the Spirit of God now living within me, quickening me, enabling me, energizing me. So I can now say yes to God and see the will of God done in my life. Does that make sense? Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 again. Let's take a look at that. They can put that on the screen. Show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Verse 13, for God is what? Working in you. What does that mean, working in you? Well, that word, the original Hebrew word, Greek word there for working, is the word we get energy from. Energios. It's the word we get energy from. And it basically means to be operative. That means God is operative in your life. To be operative in your life. It means to be at work. He's at work in you. It means to put forth. To put forth, to enable, to bring forth, to give you and I what we need. To put forth what you and I need. It means to put forth power. To put forth power. It means to aid one. So God is ready to aid you. It means to effect. So he's ready to effect change in your life. And all you and I have to do is say yes. And say yes to God. I want to say this. There are times when the Lord will call you to do things go places, say things. The Lord will call you in a way that he may not call everybody else around you. Years ago, the Lord began to stir me in certain ways in and among my friends and began to speak certain things to me and call me in certain directions. And I would always say, but what about this person or what about that person? And the Lord would tell me, you know, or what about this or what about that? And he would say, don't worry about that. Focus, 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 focus. There are times where he asked me to put away certain things that I saw other Christians comfortable with. You know, I think of, you remember when Jesus is speaking to Peter and he's giving Peter, he's been resurrected, he's come back, he's now speaking to Peter and he's giving Peter direction. And Peter is just listening. And then finally Peter looks at John and says, what about him? Right? And Jesus said, don't worry about him. Follow me. Right? This is what we're talking about tonight. There was a phrase years ago that I heard from an old preacher. And it was this. Others may, but you may not. Others may, but you may not. And I never forgot that. The Lord has a specific calling on your life. You may see other Christians doing certain things, going certain places, saying certain things, watching certain things, and the Lord is saying to you, that is not for you. Listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. There's no limit to what God will do in and through your life if you will just say yes and believe him and trust him. No limit. Last Saturday, I was home with my wife, and I came into our room. I was there in the room with her, and we began to talk. And as I was talking with her, I just began to pour out my heart and tell her what I was sensing. I just began to share with her, you know, how I just hear God calling. I hear a call. Go out to meet the bridegroom. I hear this call, this wooing. I sense his drawing. I sense his drawing. And I sense him saying, put that away. And I'm not talking about necessarily bad things or things that are necessarily sinful. Even good things. Even things that were okay before, but all of a sudden now I sense him saying, I want you to put that away for now. I want you to get rid of this or get rid of that. And I began to share that with my wife. And as I was just pouring out my heart to her, she said, you know what, let's pray. And we began to pray and we sensed the Lord's presence. And immediately we began to, when we were done, we said, okay, we made a decision. Okay, there's certain things we're just going to get rid of stuff so we can just have more time to spend with the Lord, less time being occupied by other things, you know, and just more time with the Lord. And then I came in Sunday morning and Pastor Carter preaches, our senior pastor preaches this incredible message on the price of freedom. And he began to talk about how if you want to make a significant difference in this generation, it's going to require that you put away certain things and that you obey God and that you begin to listen to his voice. If you want to make a significant difference in this generation, it will require a radical obedience. Radical because everyone else is doing something else. And God is saying to you, I want to do something with you. Would you come over here? Folks, it's no different than an athlete who wants to win an Olympic medal and realizes that they have to take time to get away from everything to train, to prepare for this event. Are you with me? And that's for an Olympic goal. How much more for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? But you and I will celebrate for eternity what the Lord has done. Where we will affect change for eternity, where we can make a difference, not just for a time now, but for eternity. You can obey God because the Spirit of God lives in you now. So when the Lord comes calling, I want you to join me in saying yes to Jesus. Would you say yes tonight? Yes. Quickly. Number four, obedience is a blessing. Obedience is a blessing. Jesus came as an example and gave his life for our sins in obedience to his Father. As a result, we are blessed. We are saved. Hallelujah. Our obedience causes others to praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12 says this. 2 Corinthians 9, 12 says, "This service that you performed," this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, "this service that you performed is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." Verse 13, "Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ." Men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. What was he saying? He was saying, because you are not only confessing that you're a Christian, but you're actually living like one by helping the poor and the needy, by giving, by generously supplying the needs of those that are needy around you. People are giving praise and thanks to God because you are being used as a vehicle to be an answer to their prayers. Hallelujah. So obedience is a blessing in that it causes others to praise God when you obey God. Obedience is a blessing because the Lord promises to reveal himself to us. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 14, 21, "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." I will reveal myself to each of them. The Lord says, because you have chosen to obey me, because you want to glorify me, because you want to live for me, because you have accepted my commandments and your desire is to obey me. You may not be perfect, but your desire is to obey him and you're in that direction. The Lord says, you know what? I'm going to reveal myself to you and I'm going to come hang out with you. Me and my Father, we're going to come and we're going to make our abode with you. We're going to hang with you. The Lord reveals himself to us. He comes and he just hangs with us because we've chosen to obey. That's another blessing. Another blessing is that it's a sign and testimony. When we choose to obey God, it's a sign and testimony to the world that we have actually been converted, that we have been converted. I think of a woman in the New Testament called Lydia. The Bible says she was a seller of purple fabric. She was from Thyatira. And at one particular point, she's in Philippi. And she hears the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel, and she gets gloriously saved. But it's not enough for her to get saved. She wants to obey God. And so she goes down into the waters of baptism as a testimony to her generation that she meant business with God. If you mean business with God, you need to get water baptized if you haven't been water baptized yet, but that's just a sidebar. But water baptism is a testimony to the world that you are living for Jesus now. Are you with me? So it's a sign and a testimony to the world that you've actually been converted. Obedience is a blessing in that we get to see and experience the miraculous. For example, I think of 2 Kings. You don't need to turn there. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. There's a story of a woman in Elisha's day. And this woman's husband was a minister. And he dies. And so because he dies, he was the main breadwinner in the house. She couldn't afford to pay the bills. And so the creditors came and wanted to take her sons as slaves. Slave labor, wanted to take her sons as slaves to pay off her debt. And so she goes to the prophet of God, Elisha, and she tells him her need. And he tells her, this is what I want you to do. Go get these jars, go get as many huge jugs as you can. And he asks her, what do you have in the house? He says, I just have this little container of oil. As he says, okay, this is what I want you to do. He gives her clear instructions, a directive. She is hearing a word from the Lord, a direction from God. This is what you need to do. She listens. She obeys. She goes and gets these huge jugs, as many as her neighbors had. And she comes to the house, and the prophet tells her, Elisha tells her, take that flask of oil and pour it into each jug. And she does it. She pours this little flask into these huge jugs. And she sees a miracle. It's like the wedding of Cana, right? Just like the wedding of Cana, Jesus' first miracle. She sees, it's amazing. It's amazing. She pours this little, and it fills these huge jugs, and it keeps filling these huge jugs, right? And then when she's done, she goes to the prophet, and she says, what do I do now? He says, take those jugs and now sell them and pay off your debt. And she goes, game, all right. And she does it. But she would have missed a miracle if she didn't obey. Right? How many of us are missing miracles because we don't listen? Because we don't dare to believe? Because it sounds preposterous what the Lord is asking us to do. Doing what pleases him. It's a blessing in that we get to experience the joy of the Lord when we obey him. The scriptures tell us that in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. How many of you have ever gone witnessing? You've gone witnessing? Raise your hand real high. What happens when you go witnessing and you come back? There's joy. There's a sense of peace. Sometimes you come under fire too, right, from the enemy. But there's a joy, right? Why? Because you're in the harvest, in the fields, with your heavenly Father, doing what you were recreated to do. What you were born again to do. You're in the fields with your heavenly Father, with him, laboring, doing what pleases him. So all of a sudden there's this joy. As you pour out to others, he pours in. You pour out, 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 he pours in. Amazing. So that you're always fresh, filled with life, filled with fresh testimonies, filled with an excitement, a joy, because you're in the fields with your heavenly Father. And you may not be necessarily good at just witnessing, but just helping people, serving, going out on the Raven truck, going on a missions trip, doing this, doing that, helping the children's ministry, serving in the fields with your heavenly Father. All of a sudden, there's a joy that begins to come in. It's a blessing in that obedience results in spiritual growth. Psalm 1 talks about that, and Jeremiah 17:8 talks about that. It's a blessing in that because of our obedience, when difficult times come, when difficulties and storms of life come our way, we will be made to stand. We will be made to stand. Luke chapter 6. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn there. Luke chapter 6. I think you need to read this with me. How many of you have your Bible? Luke chapter 6, starting with verse 46. Because of our obedience, when difficulties and storms come our way, we will be made to stand. Starting with verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let me read that to you in another translation in closing tonight. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Let me read it to you in another translation. Verse 46. Why are you so polite with me? Always say, yes, sir. And that's right, sir. Amen. But never doing a thing I tell you. These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life. Homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. If you work the words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. And when the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. That's from the Message. You thought I made that up, didn't you? Obedience is a blessing, folks. And lastly, obedience is by faith. It's by faith. Hebrews 11:8 says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed. By faith, he obeyed God. Left his house. And went with God. Tonight I think of a man named David Wilkerson who obeyed God by faith when the Lord called him to come and start a church in Times Square. Thank God. Folks, that's why we're here today. He obeyed God, and as a result, the Lord planted a church right in the heart of what is called Hell's Kitchen. Do you know that? This community is called Hell's Kitchen. God planted a church right in the middle of Hell's Kitchen. That's the God I serve. Folks, we are on the winning side. The devil doesn't get the last word. I said, the devil doesn't get the last word. God does what he wants to do when he wants to do it, through whom he wants to do it. But all he needs is someone who's willing to obey him by faith, who's willing to trust him by faith. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Tonight, I want to give an invitation for those who say, Pastor, I'm in a storm. I'm in a storm. Are you in a storm tonight? I want you to come to Jesus. He'll see you through. I want to give an invitation also for those who say, I just need to believe God and obey at this point. I've heard the word. I know what he's asking me to do. I just need to obey, believe him and obey him at this point. He's with me. He's with me. He lives inside of me. He's given me all that pertains to life and godliness. I just need to obey him and go with him. That's you. I want to invite you, as well as those who are going through a storm, to get out of your seat and come join me at the front here. We're going to worship, then we're going to pray together, and then this night is going to be history. Let's stand all over this house. Would you pray from your heart tonight? Oh God, your word says, if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Tonight I thank you for cleansing. I thank you for your blood that was shed on the cross 2,000 years ago so that I could be forgiven of the wrong things I've done. I receive your forgiveness by faith, and I accept your sacrifice for my wrong. Would you come into my life and take complete control? Fill me with your spirit. I'm sorry for the wrong things I've done, the way I've lived. I want to honor you from this moment on. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me, that you would go to such an extent to save me, to purchase me with your own blood. You died for me, and now I make a choice to live for you. Live this life through me. I trust you for the grace and the power to do what's right. I thank you that you will steady me, that you'll hold me, you'll establish me. For the steps of the godly are established, are ordered, are directed, are made firm by the Lord. And you delight in every detail of their lives. You delight in every detail of my life. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not alone. You're with me. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, tonight we come against every lie of hell. We come against every captivity of the mind and the heart. Lord, we proclaim tonight that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The devil is a liar and our God is true. Father, we thank you for freedom. We thank you for liberty, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. And Lord, you are here. Lord, not just here in this building, but Lord, you reside within us. So there is liberty now. There is freedom now to do what pleases you. Father, we just thank you and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give God praise tonight. Oh, you ought to praise him tonight. Folks, if you have the victory, I think you ought to praise him. If you are free, you ought to praise him. If you are healed tonight, you ought to praise him. Hallelujah. This has been a great night, folks. We are going with God. And we expect to be blessed. Amen? But not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing. Amen? To be a blessing. Stay open to his spirit, to those inklings, to those promptings, to those proddings, to that wooing, that drawing. The other day I was speaking with a young woman, and I was sharing with her what the Lord was saying to me, and she said, you know, it's amazing. You know, this past week I was about to turn on Netflix, and she said, I heard the Holy Spirit say, don't turn it on. Come spend time with me. Just come spend time with me instead tonight. I want you to spend time with me. I want you to come hang with me. And she did. And God began to speak to her. See, that's what we're talking about. Just listening to his voice, those times, those special moments when he just begins to woo you and draw you. He said, my sheep know my voice. It's not the devil telling you to go pray. It's not the devil telling you to open up your Bible when you are just about to have me time, veg time, where you're about to veg because you had a busy day and you just sat on the couch and you were about to veg, or you're about to get on the computer and go on Facebook and check your status or check this or check that, or it's the Holy Spirit who's calling you. But he's not going to force us. He just woos us. He says, come away with me, my beloved, like Song of Solomon. Let me hear your voice in the clefts of the rock. In Christ, let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. I want to speak to you because you're beautiful to me. Your face is comely, like the King James. You're beautiful to me. Hallelujah. God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Can we worship him and praise him tonight? Amen. How many tonight are here for the first time, responding to the front here for the first time? Anybody responding to the front? God bless you, man. Great to have you with us. God bless you over here. Anybody else? Amen. Awesome. God bless you. Please don't leave without letting some of our prayer partners talk to you before you go tonight. But let's go worshiping the Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name.